This week in cinema, It's Too Bad grapples with the film Nine Lives. Can you handle cat scratch fever? Find out on the It's Too Bad podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the It's Too Bad podcast. This is Jason.
And this is Ted.
And we are back again. This is the second film that we've viewed for this series, and it's a brand new one. Sort of brand new.
Well, it was when we saw it.
It was. We actually went to see Nine Lives, the Kevin Spacey epic.
Now, I just want to preface that we didn't go together.
We didn't.
So we bought two tickets each in separate occasions.
Yeah.
Went to see this film.
Yes, so we probably doubled the gross income of this film.
Good.
Just by.
I feel better about it.
I think I'm okay with it. I actually went with my daughter, who's 5 years old.
Okay, that you had an excuse.
I didn't look like a complete lunatic going.
There's a story that goes along with this. I went into the theater and I was a tad late. Previews had started.
Okay.
So I walk all the way up to the top, and there's a lady. And her daughter, obviously, because everybody has a kid there
right,
but me.
As you should.
I just have my coffee. I'm walking up. Go to the middle of the row. This woman, I think, thought I shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I could see that.
The heightened sense of her as now she stared at me as I think she thought I was just going to destroy the theater was very disturbing to me.
You were with your wife, right?
No.
No?
No, it why was did, just me.
Why did you buy two tickets?
Oh, no. We bought a ticket each. I didn't know you took your daughter.
I bought two tickets.
I thought, yeah, you bought two tickets. I thought we just bought two.
Yeah.
So, no, you went with an excuse.
I did.
And I went to look like a psychopath.
I went with an alibi, basically, because it wasn't that she wanted to see the movie. It was that when we were getting together the films we were going to start watching for this series, I saw this preview and said, there's no way this could be good, right? And so we went in thinking it's going to be bad. Hoping, I don't know, I kind of split because you don't go into a movie hoping it's bad.
No.
You want to be entertained, but hoping for this show that it was bad. And it lived up to what I thought it was going to be.
Right. And when I saw the trailer, I thought, you know, it's a cat movie.
Right.
I like cats.
Sure.
This can't
you
be
do.
That bad.
I hate cats.
Okay.
So
this was like a terrifying movie for you.
Yeah.
You were actually like Kevin Spacey.
I was, yeah, I was. I was in every sense of the word.
Really? Every sense?
Every sense.
Okay.
So there's probably going to be some spoilers in here because I feel like we can't do it any justice without giving away a few issues.
Right.
Here.
And if you haven't seen it by now, you didn't care to see it.
Right.
So let's
now
just
get into it. And keep in mind, when I went to see it, full house. What about you?
It was a full house.
Okay, we went opening weekend, so people were dying to see this movie. There was a little girl, probably like 10 or 11 years old, that was hugging the poster outside before we even went in.
That's sweet.
I don't know how she felt afterwards.
She wasn't hugging the poster.
Though.
No.
No.
I did notice that, and you'll probably know when we get through it, but the level of intensity in the theater at the beginning to the middle to the end really changed, and you can tell that even though this is a kids' movie, kids weren't even interested.
Right. I had the same experience. And my daughter, 5 years old, sort of the key demographic for this hour in, she was watching the projector. She turned around in her seat and looked at the projector for a good 5 minutes. She couldn't care less about what was going on screen. And actually, that's kind of when it starts to get a little darker.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was that or...
Yeah, this movie was dark.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. There are a few scenes in there that should have been probably not that dark.
There
are a few people that, you know, got thrown off buildings and there was a suicide jump.
Yeah.
And the cat dies at the end.
There was talk of...
in the Nine Lives. In the trailer, it says it has nine lives. But that's a lie.
He said he'd already wasted seven of his lives.
And so when the cat at the end dies, he does have one life left. So it's not the end of the world. But tell that to a four-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. This cat's already died seven times.
This cat's had a rough life.
So director on this, Barry Sonnenfeld, who directed Men in Black movies. He directed Adam's Family, Adam's Family Values. He sort of knows what he's doing when it comes to family films. Not sure how this pile of garbage happened, really.
Yeah, at this point, I think the movie itself was pretty good. It was okay until Kevin Spacey, somehow through the magic of lightning and Christopher Walken, decided to take his body and put him into a cat. Mm-hmm. Once that happened, the movie took a terrible turn.
Yeah. And Kevin Spacey did not want to be in this movie at that point. I don't know if he just read the first few pages and was like, "This seems good. I like this. It's a guy that works too much, doesn't really take care of his family because he's just off doing his work. He likes to skydive and likes to do it. You know, he's this Richard Branson type guy. And yeah, that's an interesting character on paper."
Yeah.
And then he's just like, "Yeah, yeah, whatever the rest of it is, we'll do it." And then he found out that there's a cat involved, mm-hmm. and that he is that cat. And the second that you see him as a cat, his demeanor, his voice, his enthusiasm for the whole project is just gone. If you watch the trailer, the sound of his voice doesn't even sound like him.
No, I thought they actually replaced him with someone else.
They might have. It might be like a robotic algorithm for his voice.
No, and I'm not going to give him a pass on this one.
Right.
Okay, Kevin Spacey, not giving you a pass.
Read your scripts.
You knew what you were getting into. This was a kids' movie. Right. Don't tell me that they had Christopher Walken and Jennifer Garner signed on and you thought, "Oh, this is going to be good."
True.
No, this is called Nine Lives and You're a Cat. Like, you knew this was a family film. This was on you.
And we can't even talk down on family films. We love good family films. I watch good family films all the time with my daughter. Disney does a good job. Illumination, good job. Some of the Fox stuff, pretty good.
Now, let me ask you a question, though. If this movie decided to go with just the regular cat and not CGI the cat, do you think this movie would have been better?
It would have helped about 10%.
Okay.
I don't like when I see something that looks like a real cat, and then all of a sudden it doesn't look like any natural creation. It was worse than, like, Ang Lee's Hulk, okay? The CG of it was like, if we can make Sully mm-hmm. in Monsters, Inc. Mm-hmm. have this beautiful flowing hair. And this is how many years ago that we had Monsters, Inc., the first one.
Yeah.
And this cat just looks like a smudge on the screen. It's terrible.
It was gross.
Get it together.
Yeah. And I'm not sure why they thought that that was a good idea, although they put the cat into some fantastical situations where you would need a CGI cat.
Yeah.
But I think you can write around that, because this movie, when in at the core, is a man who doesn't like his family.
Yeah, he just doesn't care.
And then has to like his family or he's going to stay a cat.
Right. He's got a week to turn it all around.
Okay.
And they never... Christopher Walken gives him these guidelines, but he never specifies how he has to turn it around. It's just like
And so as an audience, we are just lost.
Yeah.
We are lost. But
he has a very specific week to do it,
mm-hmm.
but no guidelines.
Right.
So...
And had to be, obviously, the worst week of his life. I guess there's never a good week to be turned into a cat.
Not if you're a cat. There's no good week for a cat.
Wow.
Really?
Really?
I mean, they're always angry.
They're irritable. They're irritable.
Because they're having a bad week.
I will take that into account.
Yeah.
Next time I see a cat.
Empathy, I guess, is the key.
Hey.
Yeah.
Do you think any other film did this better?
That's a good question. Maybe we should dive into our first segment.
Okay.
Who done it?
Better.
So, again, at the core of this movie, it's a man who needs to love his family again.
Right. And you've seen this 1,000 times in various different ways. You've seen it body swapping with your parents and kids. Big did it with just, he was mm-hmm. just an adult. And then we've seen it with the Shaggy Dog.
I think this is just a natural theme in films in general. It's an easy one to pull out and just plug in. It's a plug and play.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a nightmare that most people have. You know, right. All of a sudden, I'm someone else.
Yeah, or you have some
fish
sort
out of
thing
water
on you.
Story. Yeah. That's kind of basic.
So, what did you think did it better than this movie?
You know, like I said, we've seen it 1,000 times, but without having to see an actual animal, because like I said, that CG animal drives me nuts. And I'd rather just see people. I'd rather just, like,
people,
learn a lesson.
Yeah, people seeing people.
It's people seeing people. People feeling people. People loving people.
People loving people.
I think Liar Liar did it better. I really do.
It did. And everything in Liar Liar is better than this
Absolutely.
Movie. Like, even if you can't stand Jim Carrey being a goofy idiot, the kid was better.
Better, yeah.
The mom was better. The weird, creepy guy hitting on the mom was better. Yeah. Like, it just, everything in this movie was better. And at the end, you felt something.
Right.
And I think in the movies, if you get to the end and you just want it to end, mm-hmm. it didn't hit the right notes.
Right.
And that's where we're at on this one. Nine Lives just didn't hit the right notes. Liar, Liar, at the end, you feel something. You go, oh, I'm glad.
Sure.
It didn't all work out for him. But
yeah.
It was good that he made peace with his family.
And, you know, you see Jim Carrey as not very likable at the beginning. And so it gives you kind of a reason to want him to change.
He's at that Bill Murray persona
right.
going on.
Right. And this, I kind of really didn't care how Kevin Spacey acted. I mean, you saw, you know, they kind of wrote it in that you knew he wasn't around for his family. But there was no stakes to it.
No.
It wasn't like, oh, you were really let down by him as an audience.
Can we just take this one step further?
Yeah.
We're supposed to feel bad for the family. And the only one person I feel bad for is the daughter, because she doesn't deserve this. But the mom going in knows he had a failed marriage once.
Right.
And why did it fail?
Because he wasn't around.
Great.
Yeah.
So she walks in and marries a billionaire and expects him to change?
Yeah, for her.
No, she just knew what she was doing. She was marrying for money.
Exactly.
And she just wants him around a little bit more. You don't really feel bad for the mom at all. The daughter doesn't deserve that.
Right.
But the mom, Jennifer Garner, sorry, man. You deserve all of that. What did you expect was going
to
happen?
Man, this feels like a little too close to home for Jennifer Garner, too. But
Is the ink even dry on the divorce papers yet?
I don't know. That's hard.
Rip that out. Hey, did you find any words to live by in this film?
Words to live by. Words to live by. Who you got in your ear?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Scouring the whole 90-minute film, you found something.
Is that all it was?
Well, it felt longer than that. It might have been shorter than that.
It might have been.
I don't remember the runtime. I mean, I have a smartphone. I am looking it up. Yeah. You look it up.
Meh.
Audience participation. Tell us what it is.
Yeah. Call in. We'll get it.
Yeah.
Next week.
We got people.
Like I said, I'm not a cat person. And so I sort of empathize with Kevin Spacey in that aspect, that I'm just not a cat person. The whole time he doesn't want a cat. His daughter wants a cat for her birthday, and he's just like, not doing it. Just not because he can't, not because he can't afford it. Just out of pure selfishness that he hates cats.
He's never home. Just get the kid a cat.
Exactly. Exactly. He has to deal with it 0% of the time.
Right.
I have a cat that is my wife's cat, okay? That cat's been around since before she knew me, so there's no getting rid of this cat.
So you also, like, married into the cat.
The cat hated me to begin with. The cat would, like, our first 3 years of marriage while I was sleeping would just claw me in my sleep.
Wow.
Now,
some
I'm his favorite for whatever reason. It still is... really bothers me on my end, because he'll just sleep on my feet and like I'm the one that's his best friend. I heard
about that, though, like when cats or animals, they know who doesn't like them and they'll go to them because they know they're not going to get, like, you know, petted and prodded and
that's
poked.
Yeah, and cats hate people, so they just don't want the attention.
Right. And you hate people.
I hate people,
so it actually works. Cats.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe you should be a cat.
Oh, well, so there it is. The twist,
right?
Kevin Spacey is turned into a cat when he finally decides that he's going to get his daughter a cat after prodding from his family and people at work. Just get a cat. They're all like, just get a cat. He gets a cat through a series of wackiness, becomes the cat because, you know, Christopher Walken is magic.
He is magic.
And he finds out he's a cat as he wakes up in a cage, as his body is in the hospital bed, basically in a coma.
ICU.
Yeah. And he notices his paw, and not shocked in a way that you would expect someone to be shocked when they turn into an animal.
That's life-changing stuff.
Absolutely. All he says is, you gotta be kidding. And that's kind of how we all feel.
Now, the last thing he said was like he was up on top of his tower and he was Kevin Spacey being Kevin Spacey, yelling, firing somebody. And he was giving a great performance.
Yeah, he was.
And then he comes into the cat. And can you give that line one more time, just the way he would?
You gotta be kidding.
And for the next hour 15, we are dealt with a man who just doesn't care about the film.
Yeah.
And when you are in a movie, watching a movie about a man who doesn't care about being in the film,
yeah,
it's torture.
You don't care either.
No, you don't care. You don't care.
Yeah. There was another line that I think we had been talking about too. Same scene. Same scene and everything.
Yes.
Christopher Walken is talking to him, kind of explaining the rules.
Wait,
to this.
Christopher Walken just shows up.
Right,
like,
at
like,
the hospital.
Just
he knows
exactly what's going on.
Right, right.
Does he control the weather, Christopher Walken?
I think so. I think he sent that lightning bolt.
Okay. Because that doesn't make any sense. If you haven't seen it, Kevin Spacey is up on the top of a building, and the way he gets into a coma is a lightning strikes, and he falls off the building. What? What if that didn't happen?
Yeah.
How would he have turned into the cat?
No.
Just fell asleep and somehow just wake up
at
in the cat's
At the very
body?
Least, he has, like, very close, direct line to God. I'm like...
Wow.
And at least...
He's an angel.
He makes suggestions.
He might be an angel.
He could very well be an angel.
All right.
This could be a It's a Wonderful Life situation.
Ooh. Clarence. Mary. So, the line that he says... Kevin Spacey starts and says, "I'm a cat. I hate cats." And Christopher Walken is there and says, "That's what makes this so perfect."
It works on so many levels.
So many. It was that was like the best writing in the film.
Yeah.
Because it was punny,
uh-huh,
yet true.
Right.
That is what makes it perfect. Because what if he became like a dog or a mouse?
He might have liked it.
What if his kid was into reptiles or something and wanted to, you know... A snake.
Interesting choice of words.
What's that sound?
Let's get ready for cage fight.
This is fight night.
Ooh, this is fight. One of my favorite segments that we do.
It's the highlight of my day.
So if you didn't get the first podcast or it's downloading right now, like it should be because you subscribed.
Click. This is our
segment where we decide what role Nicolas Cage could play in this film that would make it more interesting.
Right. And it's not that he was built for that role.
Never.
It's that what he could do with that character that would make it more fun to watch.
Right.
And we're each going to pick one.
Okay.
And then we're going to see which we like better, I guess. Maybe it's a tie. Maybe they're both great. But we'll find out. Did you have somebody?
I do. I do have somebody.
Did you prep for this at all?
No. We did a little bit. We had a staff meeting before.
You have a staff?
You didn't see them?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wait, they're on my payroll then. That sucks. Okay, so my role is a very bit role. Okay, it would be a cameo, and it would be possibly one of the best cameos, because we needed something at this point in time in the movie to help us. Jennifer Garner, we are assuming, is leaving Kevin Spacey for another man.
They try to sew that in there somewhere.
It doesn't really work.
And Spacey, as the cat, kind of discovers this, and he's going to trail her to find out what's really going down.
And so... she leaves. The cat somehow gets into the car after jumping 16 stories up and landing fine. And then we go to a house where a man walks out. And
scandal.
Yeah, he's like, "This is what I think we should buy." Now, that man, we think, is the one that she's having an affair with. However, it's just the real estate agent.
Because she was going to go buy a house by herself.
She was, without him knowing.
With his money.
With his money.
She's a stay-at-home mom.
Right. She has no money. It's his money, going to buy a house. Somehow it was all going to go, and when the divorce is finaled, he's just going to let her keep the house. It wasn't really well thought out. And I think at that moment she realizes in the film that this is going to happen, because she's like, "You know what? I'm not going to buy the house." And this real estate agent, played by not Nick Cage, but should be Nick Cage, keeps trying to sell this woman the house over and over and over again. And I think with Nicolas Cage's pizzazz and freak out, we could really have a good time with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. That's a very good one. And there's just enough Cage that it doesn't derail the whole film.
You don't need a lot of Cage.
Right.
Little goes a long way.
Really does. Speaking of little, my choice is actually the daughter.
Whoa!
I know.
Wait, an 11-year-old girl? You want 50-something-year-old Nick Cage.
Yeah.
I'd like does he just mouth the words, or how does, or is he actually, like, when you do the scene, it's just Nicolas Cage?
Maybe we'll CG the head on her body. I don't know.
That's a good idea.
Part of it is just because her outfit throughout the whole movie, very good costuming choices. Every time you see her on screen, she's in a different kitty cat t-shirt. She's got a cat on her shirt.
She likes cats.
My daughter she picked out a cat shirt to wear to go see the movie. So I know that kids do this. If they really like cats, they're going to wear. She got a lot of cat shirts. I don't know why she has so many.
I feel like that's like wearing the band t-shirt to the concert.
Sort of is. My daughter's 5, so you can't like fault her for that.
I mean,
I
if
know.
We don't start now,
I know.
Who's gonna,
I should know better.
Who's going to start?
But imagine Nicolas Cage in kitty cat t-shirts. Okay, throughout.
Man.
Really wanting a cat.
No,
okay.
But really imagine it out there.
Yeah, please do. Like, take a moment. All right, you got it? So
it's a great image.
I know. That's what I want is an image. I don't think he'd do a good job pretending to be a girl or pretending to be a child.
I don't know. I think he has very good range.
I don't
want to
limit
his... No, he has a lot of acting range.
Talent.
And he could really do this well. Either way, putting Nicolas Cage in this movie will make it better.
I agree.
Which a lot of things... You don't say that enough.
The little girl is the purest character in the whole movie. Okay, she's the only one that's likable. She's the one that doesn't have any fault. She's actually being teased by her stepsister, I guess that's what it would be.
Was
her
it?
It's her...
Ex-sister?
Her father's ex-wife's daughter from a new marriage. Okay.
My brain just exploded.
Yeah. So, they're related, but not. I don't know why the two moms are friends when the ex-mom hates Kevin Spacey.
I think it was a selfish motive on the ex. Yeah. I think she wanted them to divorce so she can try to get back in.
Maybe so.
Money was drying up.
But, you know, that little girl is pure. And I feel like Nicolas Cage doesn't get to play those parts either. He doesn't get to be, like, the righteous one of the whole situation. He's always got an ulterior motive, or he's got, like, a dark past. Or she just wants to be a little kid and have a cat. Dang it.
And what if that's all Nicolas Cage wants in life?
I kind of feel like maybe that's
true. He just wants to be a little girl with a cat.
Well, with that said, you have any other thoughts on this movie? This was a tough one to go to the theater and see.
Yeah, it was a hard watch. Again, if you get a chance to see it, hopefully you see it on TV. I wouldn't spend money on it. Yeah,
even the Redbox fees are a little much.
And I would, the fee is a little too much for this film. I would even wait for it to be on TV with commercials. Don't wait for Stars to get this movie.
Sit it out a couple years.
Yeah, you're going to need breaks. You're going to need breaks.
That's pretty much it. I don't have anything else to say. We've basically covered this movie as much as anyone should even know about it. So,
amen.
Next week, we're going to be back on YouTube with a brand new episode. And you can find us back here in 2 weeks with a new podcast on that same film we're going to cover. You can call us and leave a voicemail. The number is 231-ITS-2BAD, I-T-S, the number 2-B-A-D. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us any films that you might want us to cover. Let us know what you thought about Nine Lives if you ever saw it.
Yeah. If you don't want to call us, we're on Twitter,
absolutely.
Instagram, Facebook. Come find us.
Yeah. It's Too Bad TV, Instagram, and Twitter. We're everywhere. So just get at us, dog.